Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 30th. Good to have you along here on the Ideas Network. The city of La Crosse tonight begins considering a proposed ordinance that would fine people who are publicly intoxicated. Should people who are obviously smashed face a fine of a few hundred dollars if they're staggering around in public? Might this make people think twice before binge drinking at local establishments? Might this put a stop to the string of drownings of young men in the Mississippi River near La Crosse? 8 of them, all apparently very drunk since 1997. The last victim, a 21-year-old UW La Crosse student, was pulled from the river last October. His blood alcohol limit was 4 times the legal limit. Certainly, though, La Crosse isn't the only community that faces issues with binge drinking. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions about the problem of binge drinking and propose solutions. We'll talk with a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in La Crosse about this issue and this ordinance. And a little later, we will welcome in a La Crosse City Council member who wants your feedback on this idea and other ideas to discourage binge drinking. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Let me welcome first Sandra Harris, one of Wisconsin Public Radio's reporters based in La Crosse. Good morning, Sandra.
Morning to you.
So what does this proposed ordinance say?
Well, the ordinance itself talks about public intoxication in and of itself not being prohibited, but it's when people make a public nuisance of themselves. And it defines being a public nuisance as being engaged in obnoxious behavior, and that might include staggering or falling, vomiting, public urination, lewd, loud, and profane or combative behavior. I'm reading from the ordinance itself for the proposed one. And being a danger to oneself as well.
Yeah, I guess I'm assuming that I thought that something like this would already be on the books in most communities. That...
No, it isn't. Mm-hmm. I talked with the city attorney about that, and he said there are, I don't know if there are 5 or 6 communities, but there are several that do have them. Some are not as specific as what La Crosse is considering. And he said, in talking with him and also the police, the fact that apparently disorderly conduct requires, that's a state law, and it requires more proof, I guess, of being disorderly than, say, something like this would.
Yeah, the La Crosse police feel there's nothing on the books that would allow them to stop someone who is obviously drunk but maybe isn't, urinating in an alley.
Yeah, and not to the point where they can actually stop someone or if they are unconscious and need medical attention, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So why did this ordinance get introduced?
Well, I don't know exactly why, because the city's been working on a lot of these things for the last few years, given the fact that young men have been getting drunk and falling in the river and dying. But early in January, the police department had one weekend where they had like 3 people who had to be hospitalized, one of whom had been in the water, a young woman. And the mayor announced that next Monday that he was going to be introducing this ordinance.
So it was that spate on a weekend earlier this month that really at least prompted the action now.
Right.
Yeah. So and supporters think this will be effective in maybe reducing binge drinking?
Well, some do. I know there's been a call for a high fine. Right now the ordinance calls for more than $200 fine for a first offense. And then if the person participates in alcohol or drug assessment, that could be reduced to $50, and then if they don't get arrested for another year, the record would be removed from their, or it would be removed from their record.
Yeah. Are critics saying anything?
No. No, not really. Mm-hmm. You know, they wonder if it'll do much good. And I talked with someone who treats alcohol abuse, and she said she didn't. You know, there's no statistics to show that this would do any good. Although she did agree to the fact that it might move drinking out of the public eye downtown, where you know, it's close to the river and so forth, and hey, maybe that would be at least a safety measure.
Yeah. Do Sandra, do people in the La Crosse area for the most part believe these were all young men who were drunk and fell into the river, or is there still those who are concerned that these young men were victims of foul play?
Yeah, there's still the serial killer theory still exists, and police and city officials have been, you know, working at trying to convince the public that, you know, hey, it's kids getting drunk and not being able to control what they do. But, you know, and you don't hear so much about it anymore. And maybe they've convinced more people, but that, you know, that's still out there.
Yeah. But in any case, all of these young men who drowned were drunk, very drunk.
Very drunk, yes.
Yeah. So what's the next step with this proposed ordinance?
Well, now it goes through the various city council committees, and the council meet in a week or so, and then we'll actually vote on the ordinance.
All right, Sandra, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Sandra Harris, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in La Crosse. And we will talk more about the binge drinking problem and this proposed solution, and wonder maybe if you have others to suggest. Not just for City of La Crosse officials, maybe for your own community, for that matter. First, we'll check the weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 30th. And tonight, the City of La Crosse will have a public meeting. Its first public meeting on a proposed ordinance that is intended to try to crack down on a binge drinking problem in La Crosse. The ordinance would fine people for being publicly intoxicated to the point of causing some sort of disruption or problem or danger to themselves. La Crosse considering this and other ways to deal with problems of binge drinking by UW La Crosse students and other young people. Of course, many communities have this problem. La Crosse has the added problem of having 8 young men drown in the Mississippi River since 1997. Authorities say all of these young men were very drunk, the last one in October, 4 times the legal limit with blood alcohol. We will welcome in now a La Crosse City Council member, co-chair of the city's Alcohol Oversight Committee, and welcome your thoughts and questions for her about this ban on public drunkenness that could be on the books in La Crosse. She's looking for your feedback on this idea and other ideas that La Crosse is considering. Plus, we wonder what you think ought to be done in more communities to try to crack down on binge drinking and try to get residents to drink responsibly. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Well, let me welcome in now Dorothy Leonard, La Crosse City Council member. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So is this ordinance, this proposed ordinance, a recommendation of your Alcohol Oversight Committee?
You know, we've been talking about this for about at least a year. In looking at other models, you know, when we're looking at how to solve our solutions, we've looked at other models. And other states do have, as a statewide ordinance, a ban on public intoxication, and Wisconsin does not. So we knew that if we were going to do something, we would have to do it probably on the local level. And I have talked to some of the state leaders. And sometimes things like this become political issues, which are hard to conquer. So it was thought best to maybe start on local levels. I think there are a few other cities in the state. And if more cities start adopting it, sometimes that's how we nudge state government then to take on the issue.
Yeah, it really does surprise me. I always thought there was some sort of
Surprises everyone when we talk about it. They said, "You mean you can't?" So we've been talking about it for a while, and then I think after that weekend, the mayor and the police chief got together and decided, you know, now was the time to maybe do something like that. And really thinking not so much of punishing people with fines, which is how people sometimes feel, but again, most ordinances that we have are more for safety, even like speeding. No one likes to get a speeding ticket, but we have the ordinances there to keep you going at a safe speed.
So again, as written now, this ordinance, proposed ordinance, would fine people perhaps up to $200 for...
Yeah, it's a little over $200
mm-hmm.
for the first offense.
And again, as Sandra was mentioning to us, it's not just if I'm drunk, I can still be, on the streets in La Crosse as long as I'm not staggering all over the place and making a nuisance of myself or presenting a danger to myself or others?
Right, and that's really how the spirit of this came out. Some of the police officers kept coming back to committee members and saying, you know, that there's really no tool for them. When they're out there and they see someone that isn't really doing anything that's really something they can arrest them for, and yet they're worried about them. You know, I mean, they obviously aren't doing well. There was really nothing on the books to help them, get to the person before maybe they got run over or fell in the river or any of those other kinds of things that we worry happen when people aren't totally conscious of what they're doing.
Yeah, so this would be a police officer. If this passes, a police officer could stop, let's say, a UW La Crosse student who's staggering back to the dorm from a bar.
Right, sometimes down the middle of the road, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously not doing well, you know.
But then what? Give them a fine and let them stagger on or what?
Well, that's one of the other task force recommendations that we'd really like to see happen in La Crosse is that we'd have a social detox center, and that would be someplace that we could send them. At this point, the officer has to make a judgment. If he feels the person is just really intoxicated and maybe needs kind of a wake-up call with just a ticket, they could do that, but they have to kind of do their own assessment. If they're like a few of the people they've picked up recently, they decide then that they're going to send them on to the hospital.
I see.
You know,
so,
for detox there. Yeah. It would be nice if we could have a social detox center. Those are desirable, but, again, we're still working on trying to get it funded, and it's kind of a big project.
Yeah. So do you think this problem of binge drinking is any worse in La Crosse than it is in other communities in Wisconsin?
I'm not sure if it's worse than other communities in Wisconsin, quite frankly, especially in this area. But we're kind of noted for in the country. You know, we seem to have a bigger problem in Wisconsin than there are in some other states.
Yeah, and why do you think that is?
Well, I think the tradition of, you know, we're a brewery state. You know, La Crosse has its share of taverns.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of a tradition of alcohol in our culture. So without a lot of limitations, it seems, again, there's no public intoxication laws. There aren't really a lot of laws that other states have about drink specials and things like that. They're on the state books. So I think communities have, you know, I think it's just kind of accelerating, maybe.
Yeah. Do you still have that giant six-pack in La Crosse?
We do. See, so we have, and, you know, a lot of people come to see our giant six-pack, and, you know, it's not like we mind that, but there is that kind of mindset here.
Yeah.
Of we're a kind of a brewery town, and we have about 15,000 students who come here every year, and we're happy to have them, and, you know, we have excellent educational opportunities here in our universities. So, you know, we also have that, the fact that we have three, you know, higher education institutions puts a lot of very young drinkers into our community too, which I think most people who are probably in their 30s and 40s remember back to when they were in their 20s, and they probably don't drink the same way they did when they were 20. You know, so you know we have a high population of young drinkers.
Yeah, and my producer Leo Duran just wrote me a note saying, "What a giant six pack that was! Wasn't it Old Style that put that up as you know, sort of just a
right?
I
was the G. Heilman Brewery,
an advertising thing,
and right? And it's very large.
Mm-hmm. It's not really a six-pack. It looks like a six-pack. I mean, it's not full of beer, right?
It's not something you could take from the grocery store, but
yeah.
It really did have beer in it. I don't know if it does now.
It did.
Yeah,
okay.
They would store.
Yeah. Let's take some calls. Amber in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. I am a college student myself, and I understand the need for some kind of an ordinance. I'm happy to see that the students are walking home instead of driving. That's very exciting for me. But I also think we need to start as a basic to teach students how to drink, teach them how to drink responsibly, because right now the drink of choice is the shot. And I think that that's where the problem comes in is the hard alcohol rather than the beer. So I think it needs to start there.
Well, thank you, Amber, for calling. We use the example of kids staggering home in the middle of the road, but you don't know that they're all doing that, do you, Dorothy Leonard?
No, and actually I live in the university area, and many of them don't. Again, when we were talking about that, it was more that this ordinance helps the police officers stop the student maybe before they harm themselves or get harmed in some way, either, you know, getting run over or heading the wrong direction.
Yeah, and certainly the young men who drowned in the river were presumably walking when they fell into the river.
But I do appreciate Amber's comments, actually. I think they're actually right on, because there is, like I said, it seems to be accelerating the amount young people are drinking. They're not just going down and having a few beers. She's correct. They're drinking lots and lots of hard alcohol along with that. And getting drunk at a very fast rate, so that they don't know that they're starting to lose it before they're so far gone.
Yeah.
You know, that they really don't know what they're doing anymore.
Yeah.
So I agree. And we are trying to, you know, one of the things I'd like to say is that we have 19 recommendations we've been working on, and even underneath some of those recommendations, we have like A through H of things to complete. So definitely education for the young people is definitely a big component of this.
Yeah, is there any work with the actual taverns that especially the students frequent? I know there's been that attempt here in Madison to try to eliminate the, you know, specials that encourage mass consumption and that sort of thing.
Right, and we're actually currently working with that. And I have to say the Tavern League in La Crosse is phenomenal and has been very helpful to us and very open to our, you know, having discussions. And we are probably looking at trying to do something with the late night drink specials, especially. I have to say that we have a program here called Operation River Watch, which has been one of the more phenomenal things that has come out of this. And the Tavern League had a big fundraiser to help fund them. So the Tavern League is working with the students in their organization. And, you know, the cross of information in those settings is excellent.
Yeah.
You know, both can share what their, you know, worries are and solutions.
Thank you to Amber. Keith in Eau Claire, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. I would just wanted to say, you know, this solution, it's a good solution, but it's a little reactive, like a lot of things that we do with our society. And I just thought of the example a couple of years ago. I had the opportunity to go to Germany, and I was touring the country. And you talk about a tradition of drinking in a country, you know, over there at age 16, kids can drink beer. And I realize, you know, maybe changing the entire system is not realistic at this point, but I was hanging out with 16-year-old kids that seemed in certain levels much more mature drinkers than the 22, 23-year-olds I was with.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I know what you mean, Keith. I was there too last summer, and people, not only 16-year-olds drinking, but walking down a river walk with a beer in their hands. Dorothy Leonard. We only have 30 seconds before a news break.
Okay. No. Good points. Mm. And I do think that this ordinance is one little tool, and it's certainly not going to solve all the problems. And I think that really needs to be known. This is just one more facet, and the national drinking age level is something that, you know, that's a national thing.
Right. Dorothy Leonard, our guest, a La Crosse City Council member, co-chair of the city's Alcohol Oversight Committee, talking about a proposed ordinance that would ban public intoxication in La Crosse. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 7:36 now on this Tuesday, January the 30th, 2007. Leo Duran's birthday today. Happy birthday, Leo. And Leo assures me he will not be binge drinking tonight to celebrate his birthday. So good for Leo. And wish him a happy birthday if you call in with a question or a comment about a proposal in La Crosse to make public intoxication against the law. A proposed ordinance is in response to a number of problems with binge drinkers in La Crosse earlier this month, but also on the heels of an ongoing problem, including 8 young men in the past 10 years or so who drowned in the Mississippi River, all had very high blood alcohol levels. Talking about whether this proposal is one way to prevent, cut down on binge drinking. fining or the threat of a fine for being drunk publicly. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Our guest is Dorothy Leonard, La Crosse City Council member, co-chair of the city's Alcohol Oversight Committee. Looking forward to your feedback on this ordinance and other ways that a community might cut down on binge drinking. And Dorothy Leonard, what exactly is the process now for this ordinance? The first public meeting is tonight on this?
Correct, Joy. And we hope people do come and speak out and tell us what they think. One of the reasons we have the public hearings, we'll have two of them, one tonight and then one next Tuesday, is so that we can have that public input because, you know, we're making rules and the rules are for the people. So we sometimes alter or add or take away some to get a better ordinance.
Yeah. We did get an email from John in Kimberly who isn't too pleased with this proposed ordinance. He says this will push students out of town where they're more likely to wander into danger. It'll also make them more likely to try to drive out of the city to and increase the danger to everyone. Any concern about that?
Well, that has been brought up, and I guess we need to think about that. I'm not so sure that that's actually going to happen in reality. Again, this isn't something that's going to be where the police are out. We only have a few officers in the downtown area. It's not like they're going to be able to give tickets out to everyone who's had something to drink, and I think that has been a concern brought up by the students. This is really something for when we see someone that's impaired, and we're worried about them.
We'll go next to Matt in Sparta. Hi, Matt.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a question about bartenders themselves. I was a college student in La Crosse, and I was also a bartender at some local bars, and I remember when taking my classes, I didn't really get any schooling about when to cut somebody off. But I thought I was responsible to cut them off at some point. Otherwise, I face charges myself.
Yeah. What about, there are laws on the books, aren't there, Dorothy Leonard, for that?
There are. And actually, one of the things I want to say that the police department, the community police officers, have really expanded our beverage server training. And they are constantly asked that. And they are working. Not only can you get your bartending license now, but you can go to kind of an expanded server training, and that's addressing just the issues that he was talking about, training the bartenders to be able to recognize the signs of someone who's had too much and, just kind of make sure that the people who are dispensing the alcohol have the highest skills possible in the community.
Yeah, and we had another caller who wanted to make the same point, go after the bars, go after the bartenders, go after the Tavern League. But, you know, there are people who drink in bars who are sitting at a table in the back while their friend goes and gets all the drinks all the time, too.
Correct, correct. Yeah. And one of the things we want to make sure we watch is the occupancy of bars, make sure that they aren't getting over the amount that they're allowed to have in a bar so that the bartenders can keep watch better.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Matt, for the call. Sue in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, you're indicating that there's the handful of individuals that the officers feel as though they need an ordinance to make contact with the individual to check their welfare. And when you look at community policing concepts, the officer doesn't need they've got some probable cause that they can look at. An individual's walking down the middle of the street. You don't need this ordinance for the uniformed officer to go make contact with them and evaluate them. I mean, I understand the problems there. I work in a university community. What I don't understand is why add another ordinance on top of all of it. I think there are there's enough there. There's enough already there that gives the officer the ability for these, as you say, the handful that are really bad, to walk up to them, ID them, evaluate them, see if ambulance needs to be called, or ask if they have a friend that can come and pick them up. I mean, I just don't understand adding another ordinance on top of it.
Dorothy Leonard?
Sure. The police have said that, there is that public nuisance, but as was brought out earlier in your show, I think when you were kind of explaining the difference and the city attorney went over it, this is just a little bit further that maybe someone isn't fighting someone or whatever, causing any kind of a real public destruction issue. We have that sometimes where they're breaking up a building or something like that because they've had too much to drink. They get kind of wild. This is sort of in between that. And one of the things I want to add is that when it first came out, it was just going to be fines. And the mayor did come to a tri-campus meeting where there were representatives from all the campuses, including a lot of students, and myself included. The committee had always looked more at the education part of this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is if they find that young people are significantly, and it kind of goes back to one of the other callers, is quite often getting this drunk, probably they need an alcohol assessment early on to intervene so that they learn that they're maybe on a path to possibly alcoholism, you know, that they're setting up standards where if they're getting this drunk every weekend. So the educational component is to teach them, again, about drinking and where they're maybe slipping into a behavior that's going to be lifelong, detrimental to them.
So that's a part of this ordinance, how that...
Right.
So if somebody's picked up for this public intoxication, they would perhaps be mandated to do this alcohol assessment.
Right. Actually, it's a choice. I mean, they could just pay the fine, but if they want to get a lesser fine, they can pay just $50 and go through alcohol assessment. And then also, if they don't have any more convictions for a year, then that's taken off their record, which is important for a lot of, especially college students who are going to be applying for different kinds of positions, to be able to get that off their record. So, you know, we have tried to make it more, you know, to have that punch a little bit so that there's some... you know, sting if you get drunk too often, you're going to have these fines. But also, more importantly, that we can get to these young drinkers especially early and kind of give them that alcohol education that they maybe need.
Yeah. And again, the point being that a police officer in La Crosse could stop a kid staggering down the middle of the road because obviously that's got to be breaking some kind of law.
Mm-hmm.
But a police officer in La Crosse feels he or she can't stop a kid who might just be obviously drunk and you know, walking on the sidewalk, maybe, you know, singing a dumb song, and he's concerned that there could be a problem there.
Right, yeah. Right.
Sue, thank you very much for the call. Randall and Ripon, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm 50 years old, and I used to be in the Guards, and that. We used to come over to La Crosse on our free weekends there on our summer camps, and... you know, in those younger years, yeah, I drank too much, too, just like some of these kids you're talking about. And I'm no fan of alcoholics or any of that stuff, but the trouble I have with this whole thing is it just seems like, well, like a previous caller said, it's a knee-jerk reaction, it seems like. And it just seems as a whole, our society is so afraid of anybody ever getting hurt or suffering consequences. And what troubles me is these youth are old enough to go and fight and die for big oil, but you know, if they go out and have some fun, and you know, I mean, it's tragic that these, you know, that they, these boys drowned here. I don't get me wrong, I you know, I don't like hearing about that, but I don't know, I just feel like it's, you know, these kids got to have a little fun, and you're at risk of getting hurt the second you're conceived, and I just concerned it's another, you know, God, nobody can get hurt in a society, and it just, I find that very troubling because...
Yeah. Randall, thank you for the call. Let me ask you, Dorothy Leonard, maybe are, you know, you and other officials blowing the binge drinking problem out of proportion?
You know, I wish we were, because we've been working so hard at it, because it's really been identified in this part of western Wisconsin. You know, we're kind of one of the worst areas of the nation. And it's not something, and I understand the caller, I'm about his age, and I certainly did my share of having fun when I was young. And so I keep, you know, telling the students, I work at Viterbo University in La Crosse, and so I work with students all day. And, you know, I keep telling them it's not about not having fun or safe and responsible drinking. The thing that we're seeing is the level that young people are drinking. And it was one of the, actually the students from Madison who called too and said it's the shots. You know, the young people who are doing this binge drinking are drinking sometimes 30 drinks in 4 hours.
Mm.
I mean, this is sort of what we're not trying to say. We don't want you to come to La Crosse and be a student and when you're, you know, legal, be able to drink and all of that. What we're trying to say is, wow, 30 drinks. I mean, that's just way too much. I mean, that's, you know, they're almost killing themselves with alcohol, even if, you know, they don't fall in the river or anything else. I mean, we're having increased activities that are leading to emergency room visits.
Yeah, sometimes they do,
right.
Besides the drownings. Dorothy Leonard, our guest, La Crosse City Council member, co-chair of the city's Alcohol Oversight Committee, talking about a proposal that will be discussed, debated in La Crosse tonight and next week. It would make public intoxication illegal, punishable by a fine. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8, we'll welcome in a guest political analyst to preview tonight's State of the State address. Governor Doyle delivers his fifth State of the State address tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll hear it live here on the Ideas Network, and we'll also talk about it all morning long, tomorrow morning between 6 and 9. We'll preview what we know he will say so far in our 8 o'clock hour, and also ask you, what do you think is the most important problem facing Wisconsin, and what do you think should be done about it? That's in our next hour. We're talking about one problem that faces the city of La Crosse and many communities in Wisconsin, that of binge drinking. The city of La Crosse begins tonight hearing discussion debate on a proposed ordinance that would make public intoxication illegal. And our next caller is Melissa in Mequon. Hi, Melissa. You're on the air.
Hi. I know that you're talking about the ordinance. I don't want to get too off topic. But I just thought it would make more sense, not more sense, but make sense for the city to also explore testing for date rape drugs and having that stuff available at bars to make sure that that's not a problem.
I'm sorry, having what stuff available at bars?
The testing strips or literature to explain, just because it's so suspicious.
Well, I guess, Dorothy Leonard, there's other reasons why somebody might be staggering home.
Correct. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not necessarily something that we've explored. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the strips. Would you test the person or the drink? The drink, okay.
To be honest, I'm getting this from a TV show, but it must be possible to just have something available either like in the bathroom where it's not obvious or just available so that people can see whether or not the drink that they're drinking is actually what they are drinking.
Okay. Yeah, sure. It might be shifting our focus a little bit. But I suppose if, again, a person, if this it passes and a person is picked up for violating this public intoxication ordinance, presumably some sort of a blood alcohol test would be given to make sure that it's a blood alcohol problem, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, not necessarily.
No,
okay.
And that's in my discussions with the police department. Not necessarily.
Yeah. So what? I mean, the police might just say, "We think you're drunk. Let's bring you to detox and not do a test."
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
I think just from probably the odor, they can usually mm-hmm. tell.
Well, then maybe Josh in La Crosse has a question we should follow up with. Hi, Josh.
Yeah. Yes. Good morning. I'm calling actually from La Crosse, and you kind of pretty much alluded to my question was, what is the criteria going to be for the public intoxication? Odor is obviously a telltale sign, but what if somebody spills a drink on themselves? I mean, you need to have some kind of solid test, and is it going to be over the legal limit for driving, or what exactly are the exciting factors going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just answer this by saying that this came from the mayor and the police chief, the ordinance did, and I actually asked that same question myself to the police officers, and I was just given the answer that they wouldn't necessarily be doing blood alcohol tests. Now, that may be something, again, what I'm trying to do this week and what I try to do when I'm on these, the city committees is listen to these kinds of comments, and if this is something that people think we need to have, maybe that's one of the things we look at. If they, for evidence, they feel like he said, it's possible just to have been in a bar and somebody drops a drink on you and mm-hmm. you smell like alcohol and you really haven't drunk any. So, those are good questions. And those are the kind of things that, again, at a public hearing, I'm looking for. I always try to keep my mind open on things during this period where we're, discussing them.
Certainly. So some things could come up tonight and the ordinance might be tweaked and clarified. And
exactly. And, and I asked that same question. Mm-hmm. And I'm just giving you the answer the police gave me is that not necessarily. So mm-hmm. it might be something we tweak.
Good question. Yeah, thanks, Josh. Lance in Siren. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I kind of like the council's approach in regards to not only citation for public intoxication, but education and a spectrum of things to address the problem of binge drinking. However, studies have shown the most effective way is to actually raise the cost of alcohol. You know, when alcohol continues to be so incredibly cheap, when poor college students can still spend $15 and get incredibly drunk in one night, that's what I feel is the real problem, at the root of the problem of binge drinking. And I'll take my answer off here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to react to that, Dorothy Leonard?
Sure, and I want to agree, and I want to say that, you know, whenever there's an ordinance that comes forward, you know, that's when the media kind of jumps on it, and we hear about it. We're actually doing lots of those kinds of investigations, and that was one of my comments about talking with the Tavern League. The drink specials, that we do feel like those are probably a problem, and that we are going to try to work with the Tavern League. You know, Madison got in some troubles by having them voluntarily do it, so we might have to go through the ordinance way of setting some guidelines on, you know, like no drink specials after 10 or midnight or something like that, and also not the all-you-can-drink for $5. Those are the things that keep coming up as, you know, exactly what the caller said. That's not helping the situation either.
Yeah, you're referring to a lawsuit that was filed against the tavern saying that they were conspiring on price fixing.
Because the city of Madison had asked them to voluntarily, you know, not have drink specials. So we're probably that's one of the things actually we're in conversation right now with the Tavern League about.
Yeah.
And again, I think the caller has it right. If you raise the prices, that really, if it's across the board for all the taverns, then nobody's hurting. You know, we're not hurting their business.
Yeah, we're focusing in on this ordinance on the public intoxication, but are there other steps, other proposals that we haven't talked about this hour that you think will, you know, possibly be adopted in La Crosse to deal with this issue?
Well, again, I think drink specials is the other one that we're really very interested in, and also starting to pursue the idea of having a social detox area where, you know, people can kind of sober up. That maybe don't need medical attention. They don't need to be intubated or the stomach pumped or anything like that, but they do need to have a safe place to sober up because they're not really safe on their own.
Right. Lance, thanks for the call. Dave in Cashton. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, hi. I was just wondering if there has been any discussion on the high-energy drinks that the youth seem to be consuming, you know, along with the alcohol. I mean, I grew up in La Crosse, and I spent many nights on 3rd Street. But a time comes when you're drinking that you say to yourself, man, I've had enough. I got to get home. Where I think the combination of high-energy drinks keeps the kids going long after, you know, normally they would shut down.
Yeah, they now have Red Bull and that sort of thing mixing with the drinks, too.
Right.
Yeah. Dorothy Leonard?
We're very familiar with that. Mm-hmm. That is a problem. And, again, with I'm talking about students being able to drink like 30 drinks in a night. One of the ways they keep themselves going is by doing the energy drinks along with it, and it's kind of doing an upper and a downer at the same time, so it's not good for their body overall either. And where people maybe would fall asleep or pass out earlier from alcohol, now the energy drinks are keeping them going.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Steve in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Joy and Dorothy Leonard. This is Steve from La Crosse, and I was wanting to know, I talked to the chief of police here over the weekend, and I asked him if he could cite other communities our size or comparable cities that have gone to this type of approach with public intoxication ordinances and how successful they've been with them or any problems they've had with them. He wasn't able to do that. I was wondering if maybe you had done some research along those lines. And please comment on the Madison's alcohol policy coordinator and the idea of bringing a very similar position here to La Crosse.
Dorothy Leonard?
Yeah, okay. First of all, I'll talk about the alcohol policy coordinator because Joel Plant did come to La Crosse to one of our meetings and, you know, present what he's been able to do in Madison. And actually, he was very impressed. He's been working about the same amount of time in Madison and our committee, which is all volunteer and people from the community, and some students on our committee, have been able to make some strides that he's still trying to make in Madison. And then we shared information and feel that probably he could use a nice committee and we could use an alcohol policy coordinator. So we are pursuing that. We passed a resolution last month where the city grant writer can now look for one for La Crosse and then report back to the council.
Yeah,
and
then other communities that
other communities. Mm-hmm. Yes, There are just a few others in Wisconsin. I forget the names. I think maybe Janesville might, and there's a couple other smaller communities. Again, this has not been, you know, people are surprised, actually, when they hear that Wisconsin mm-hmm. doesn't have a public intoxication law. It's more most other states have something on the books. So that's why I did go to some of the state people, representatives from our area first. And, again, it might be a little bit like other legislations that are successful. They really do start sometimes at the grassroots or the city level first and then kind of expand up to the state. I think you might look at if this is helpful to La Crosse, you might see other communities starting to adapt it too, and then maybe, you know, put some pressure on the state people to do something.
Well, if our callers are any indication, you're going to have a good turnout tonight and next week.
I think so.
A lot of people interested
in
this. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for the input.
Dorothy Leonard, La Crosse City Council member, co-chair of the city's Alcohol Oversight Committee, talking with us about a proposed ordinance to ban public intoxication in La Crosse that will be taken up tonight in a public hearing and again next Tuesday. Also, thanks to Sandra Harris, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in La Crosse, for talking with us earlier in the hour. Thanks to Leo Duran, the birthday boy, for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. I hope you stay tuned. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.